Life offers only two alternatives: crucifixion with Christ or self-destruction without Christ. This is to say, eternal life with the Son of God or eternal separation from God without Him. Who would be foolish enough to sacrifice heaven for hell? If you haven't done it yet, settle on Jesus Christ. You will be glad you did. Having made it clear that judgment for false teachers is certain, Peter proceeds to expose the reputation of the false teachers in his second epistle, verses 10 through 14. He begins by saying in verse 10 that they walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Their god was lust, and their guide was the flesh. As used here, flesh refers to the depraved nature of man. Paul said of the flesh in Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." The flesh cannot obey God. Thus Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 8, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." As long as a person refuses to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ and be saved, he is controlled by the flesh. In such a state, it is impossible for him to have favor with God. The only remedy for this condition is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we are unable to control or restrain ourselves. Dominated by the flesh, we become an easy prey for lust and uncleanness. Peter tells us that not only are the false teachers controlled and guided by the flesh, but they despise government. This does not refer to political government, but rather to the divine control of the soul. In other words, they despise even the thought of submission to God. As the result, Peter says, they are presumptuous, literally daring. Not only are they daring in their ridicule of God, but they are fearless in their accusations of God's servants. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, Peter says. The reason for all of this is that they are self-willed. They are motivated by the desire to live for self rather than for God. They hate the Lord, but they love themselves. Everything they do or say in some way results in profit for self. This is the absolute opposite of what it means to be a Christian. The one who is truly born again should be dead to self and mastered by Christ. It is quite obvious that many who think they are saved have never yet experienced the marvelous grace of God. How do we know? The self-life is a dead giveaway. Rather than being mastered by Christ, they are dominated by self. Like the false teachers of Peter's day, they are self-willed rather than Christ-controlled. There can be no peace or happiness whatsoever in the self-willed life. It is the person who gives himself to Christ completely who will experience real and lasting satisfaction. Peter continues by enlarging upon the statement he made concerning the presumptuous and daring nature of the false teachers. They were so filled with pride and self-glory that they were profane and vile in their speech toward God. Not only did they openly rebel against him and his majesty, but also against angelic beings. In addition to this, they were spreading lies about the apostles and pastors, claiming that they were scattering error and that they were teaching in the light of the devil. These false teachers were on dangerous ground, for God has said in Psalm 105, verse 15, "Touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm." This is a serious warning. Now, the reason the false teachers spoke and acted as they did was very simple. Peter describes them in verse 12 as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. They were like animals, living wholly for the flesh, born to die with no hope beyond the grave. Unlike animals, however, they had eternity to face without God. The false teachers speak evil of dignities, Peter said, because they understand not That is, they lacked spiritual wisdom and perception. Actually, they were devoid of understanding, not because they did not know the truth, but because they refused to submit to the truth. The Bible teaches that the day will come when all believers will be rewarded for their works. But we also notice in verse 13 that the wicked will be rewarded. And what is their reward? Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell. I've heard people say that they're not afraid of hell. Well, you can be assured. If they knew what hell is like, they would repent of their sins in seconds. For hell is not only a place of torment, but a place of eternal torment. Maybe you're like some who say, I don't believe a God of love would send anybody to hell. Well, you are absolutely right. God never prepared hell for people. According to Matthew 25, verse 41, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. People don't go to hell because God sends them there. They go because they choose not to believe on Christ, and the result is hell. We should understand, however, that hell isn't only for bad people. There will be good people, moral people, and benevolent people in hell because they have never trusted Christ for their eternal salvation. When Jesus spoke of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, he said nothing about the rich man's morals. There is no intimation that the rich man was covetous, nor do we have any reason to believe he was an adulterer, a murderer, a gambler, or a drunkard. His problem was that he had a sinful heart. He needed to be redeemed. This is like many people today who go to church every Sunday. You see, the false teachers Peter is speaking about went to the Christian churches. They worshipped with the Christians, but they were hypocrites. I've had some people tell me, we don't go to church because there are too many hypocrites in the church. I grant you, there are hypocrites in the church, but there are also God-fearing people in the church who love the Lord, who are serving Him faithfully and living for Him 24 hours a day. The hypocrites are in a minority, so don't stay out of church because of them. All you and I have to worry about is to be sure we are not hypocrites. God will take care of the others. We need to be sure that we know the Lord and that we are living for Him. In verse 14, Peter lists four more characteristics describing the reputation of the hypocritical false teachers. He says they had eyes full of adultery. They were mastered by the lusts of the flesh, given over to unbridled sex. Also, they could not cease from sin. Being unsaved, they had no power to overcome temptation and sin. And then they beguiled unstable souls. When a person is living in sin, he is never content to satisfy his own lusts. He seeks always to drag others into his filthy way of living. And finally, Peter informs us, as is the case with all unbelievers, the real problem of the false teachers is a matter of the heart, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Friend, how's your heart before God? Do you really know Jesus Christ? Has your heart been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ so that all sin has been removed? If not, let God do a work in your life right now as you trust Jesus for eternal salvation. Blessed Lord, I praise you for what you did in sending your Son to die on the cross for our sin. You've told us there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Father, for those who need Christ, may they turn to him now. For I pray in his name, amen.